did Baruch, we went through Baruch Shomar, and there's a lot more to say on it, but I want to start now, Pesukei Dezimra. Okay, the Indian, the understanding of Pesukei Dezimra. Now, it's brought down, Mishabur brings, Aruch HaShulchan brings, the Pesukei Dezimra, the Pesukim, that we say being Mishabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a entrance into Tefillah, because as the Gemara says, first you're supposed to give Shvach, and then Bakasha. So even with those, within Shmon Esrei, we have that structure. But Chazal set it up also in the Etzim Tzura of the Tefillah. The first we have Bakasha. First we have Shvach. First we praise Hashem. And then we go into requesting things in the Tefillah. So the bracha on the Pesukei Dezimra is Baruch Sha'amar. That's the first bracha. The last bracha is Yishtabach. And the Pesukim are in the middle. I mean, according to Nusach Ashkenaz, the Hoidu is in the middle. So I want to go through the Hoidu so that... it's kind of long. We're not going to get through the whole thing now. But the purpose of the Aruch HaShulchan says that a person, and Mishbur brings it also, is that the way a person is supposed to say, Welcome back.
I got to learn Rabbi Fern, Rabbi Kron.
It's good to have you. Right, it's good to have you back.
Yes, thank you.
So the way you're supposed to say Pesukei Dezimra, you're supposed to count the words as though you're counting money. Because every word means something. Now, I understand, I'm fully aware, just as well as you are, because it makes a difference if saying Pesukei Dezimra in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or 20 minutes, or whatever, that you're not going to be able to have all the kavanas that we're talking about here on every word and have everything down pat, transfer into machlokes, which pshat, whatever. But in the course of when we say things, pshatim, in the words, maybe there'll be one pshat that will strike you and say, oh, this is a... And from all the psukim that you're going to say, you'll have a kavana in one of the psukim, extra kavana in two of the psukim. And that extra little kavana, there's in Lashire the value of every kavana that a person has when they're being Meshavach HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying these psukim. So it's kedai just as much as we can throw in, so that everyone will glean out of it what they can according to their what they enjoy and what they feel comfortable with and what they understand. Okay. So again, the purpose, you don't have to feel guilty if you catch yourself tomorrow and hey, I didn't incorporate the whole shir into my Pesukei Dezimra. You know, it's not about that. But if there's a thought that sticks out, say, oh, and you know that inspires you, so then you know that itself makes a kedai. And also, if you have one place that you get inspired a little bit, then all of a sudden you start paying attention a little bit more on your own to the rest of it. So it's always kedai to try to find a little bit of place where we can latch into and see all the kavanas. And besides the fact, Reb Chaim Volozhiner says that in the words of Shmon Esrei, which was written by the Anshei Knesset HaGedoilah, and was written with Ruach HaKodesh, he says that any kavana that you will ever have was tak included into those words. There was no kavana that was not included in the words. And he says there was never in the history of the world, since people started davening Shmon Esrei, and since every Jew started saying three times a day Shmon Esrei for the rest of their lives, there were never two Shmon Esreis that were exactly the same.
The same person or different people?
Period. It means the same person throughout his life, and the same person with anybody else since 1,000 years ago. There was never two Shmon Esreis that accomplished the same thing in Shemayim. One person had a good Shmon Esrei, he has kavan on this word, then the next day on the other word, or on the whole thing. There's never been, that's what Chaim Volozhiner writes. And that's all about the Anshei Knesset HaGedoilah. So imagine, Pesukei Dezimra is written by David HaMelech. So David HaMelech is 1,000 years before Anshei Knesset HaGedoilah, as a Navi. So whatever the Rav Chaim Volozhiner is saying about Anshei Knesset HaGedoilah, you can't even imagine what he's taka saying about what he would say about David HaMelech himself. Okay, so that's just understand the oimek, the depth of the words, and what we'll try to through the mefarshim that we that I was using to prepare and just to understand a little bit of the words. So in the hoidu, as a matter of fact, like it says here in the art scroll, it's really psukim and divrei yamin, and the hoidu is instruction to the Jewish people by David HaMelech to tell the Jewish people what they should praise Hashem about. Okay? So the whole first part of it is that there you have to be paying attention to what's going on so that you're ready to thank Hashem. And he describes the importance. Right. No, yeah, but I'm saying before that, even within this itself, within the Hoidu itself, the first part of the Hoidu is explaining why it's important to pay attention to your surroundings to see what there is to be Meshabeach Hashem about. That's the whole... Right, that's instruction. That's the whole first part of it. And then he gets into, okay, and here's what you should Meshabeach Hashem about. Okay? So we'll see how much we get to. But this is the structure of it. So it goes like this. Hoidu Hashem, Hoidu Hashem, Kiru Vishmoy. So it's a tzivui. It's an instruction. Hoidu Hashem. So Hoidu Hashem means you should thank Hashem. Now it's pretty interesting to note that we need instruction for that. You know, when you're growing up, you're a parent tells a child when they when someone in shul comes over to them and gives them a candy, so you tell your child, say thank you. You know, it's appropriate. Say thank you to the man. He just gave you a candy, right? So the child is given instruction how he's supposed to say thank you. But we think that we are beyond that, right? We've already... But here, the first thing we start the tefillah, Hoidu Hashem, we need special instruction from David HaMelech, that without this instruction, we wouldn't be saying thanks to Hashem. So it means that's how you have to view it. Not it's kilo. Right, you're so removed. You're so like removed from realizing that you owe thanks to Hashem. You're like the child that when he gets the candy, if no one would tell him to say thanks, he would just like eat it and go weiter. So this special instruction here, Hoidu Hashem. Now, part of it of Hoidah is to admit, right? Hoidah is to think, okay? But Hoidah, we've mentioned before that Hoidah also comes from the Sheresh of Vidui and from the Sheresh of Moidim to think. Vidui, why is that the same Sheresh? Because the idea is that when a person admits that they owe something, so thinking is not just thinking it, but you have to first admit that you got something. When you say you got something, you're admitting a certain lack of your own ability because you have to come on to something else. So it requires a certain introspection and ability to admit that's the first step in Hoidah. So that's Hoidu Hashem. What else should you do? Kiru Vishmoy. So Kiru Vishmoy is an interesting expression. Kiru Vishmoy, should call out in his name. So the emphasis is that Vilna Goin says, this is similar to what you find by the Avos. That the Avos, it says, by Avram Avinu, Vayikra Shom B'Shem Hashem. He called out in the Shem Hashem. What does it mean to call out in the Shem Hashem? So Kipshuta, it means that you're supposed to tell other people about Hashem, like Avram Avinu. But, how would that fit in over here? So all of a sudden, thank Hashem and go do Kiruv. I mean, like it doesn't seem to fit in. So the Vilna Goin says a Knech, the Siach Yitzchak explains it and others also, is that what it means is that you should call, how did Avram even call out to people? He made them realize that they were constantly getting from Hashem. If you're constantly, like they said, you think, I'm feeding you this meal. I'm not feeding you the meal. Hashem fed you the meal. So he made them realize that what they got was from Hashem. So Kiru Vishmoy means you should call out, forget other people. Even if it's to yourself. But the point is, you should be calling out when there's simonim, that something's from Hashem. Kiru Vishmoy. Call out that it's from him. Rav Schwab said this is why you should say Baruch Hashem all the time. Because this is a way of Kiru Vishmoy. This is a way of realizing and calling out to yourself that this is from Hashem. So essentially, that's really what Avram Avinu was doing. It wasn't like, you know, just, okay, it's very important making people feel guilty. Musar, you know, Avram Avinu convinced, he's making them realize something that what you have right now, that's also from Hashem. And that's what Kiru Vishmoy means.
So aren't we kind of doing that when we're making a bracha? When we're making a bracha on something that
of course. Yeah, yeah. Now, the Siach Yitzchak over here in this pirush, he says a very nice thing. He says that there's actually, if you do this constantly, and you accustom yourself to realizing in your daily activities that this is from Hashem, he says you're being mekayim three mitzvahs. He says mitzvah number one, he says zecharta es Hashem elokecha ki hu anoisein locha koach lasos choyel. That one of them is that you're supposed to remember that Hashem gives you the strength to do and accomplish. So when a person is miyaches his success back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's fulfilling that mitzvah. Who understands the koach lasos choyel? He's the one that gives me the koach to do, to accomplish. And by the way, if you look in the Targum Unklus on that pasuk, fascinating thing, it says who understands the koach lasos choyel. The Targum Unklus says means who understands the atzas chakimin. It means is that even the ideas that you have also come from Hashem. Okay, so in other words, a person will say, you know, listen, I have a meeting set up, and it's all up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever the results. Yeah, but there's something before that. It's also up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for you to get that idea, to make that meeting, and to go, you know, that whole thing in the first place is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, right? So no, I have some good ideas, I got good connections, but I can't, you know, I need Hashem to, like, finish the deal. Right? No. Even the idea in the first place, that Hashem gave me the idea to be able to go down this path, it also comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, right. Like so I said one time, I said, so a person says, what, you know, okay, so the final result, that's not up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, but I, you know, I have to do everything before that, and then, no. It's not true. Even the hishtadlus itself is also up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To give you the idea of which hishtadlus to do. You need HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that also. Okay, so then what is up to me? Okay, to daven. You have to daven that you should have the right idea how to do your hishtadlus. Okay, so davening is up to me. No, even davening is not up to you. Because what do you say? Hashem svosai tiftach. Without Hashem, you wouldn't be able to daven. So the only thing that's really up to you is to ask Hashem to help you to daven. Then that's up to you. You have to make the bechira to daven. Once you make the bechira to daven, Hashem can open up. Hashem is svasai tiftach. Hashem can help you daven. And then if Hashem helps daven, then Hashem can give you the idea. And then if Hashem gives you the idea, then Hashem can help furize the idea. Okay, so that's what he's saying here.
Free will, the other day, explaining you said that with free will, it's not we can do what we want. And we could do what
we don't want, right?
And we could
not do what you do. Right.
So. You know, you have to be able to make decisions, otherwise if we have no choices...
No, you have to make decisions, but that's what I'm saying, is it really, ultimately, if you really boil it down, the main decision that you have to make is to get up in the morning to daven to help you the rest of the day. That's where the bechira starts.
But every day it pops in, you can go this way...
No, of course, I'm saying, but you have to get to the Shmaya, so the primary way to get that is to tefillah. So, and then he says his other things, his kochi votzim yadi, and all sorts of other things that he says by doing this inyan of kiruv ishmoi, that you call out, not just call out, okay, do kiruv and, you know, awareness of Hashem. No, awareness of Hashem in a very specific way of how people can recognize in their actions that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what kiruv ishmoi means. So first, hoidu Hashem, you have to thank Hashem. Kiruv ishmoi and call out His name in the actions that you do, in the successes that you have, and in the business that you can accomplish, everything that goes on, see where it's Hashem. Miyachas it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
So are you saying that all the ideas are God's, you can take them or not take?
Hashem directs you in the right way.
But, I mean,
hopefully.
You could say...
Yeah, obviously, you have decisions to do.
I'm getting up in the morning. That was because God didn't want me to get up.
No. So that you don't do. Right. No, the ishtadlus, the decision. Now, well, you could decide to wake up in the morning and go to shul. And on the way to shul, you could chas v'shalom, trip over something and never make it. That's not up to you. But decision to go is up to you. Right? Nothing will be able to stop that decision. That decision, there's nothing that can stop that decision to get up. You made it. That's the word bechira is. Once you've made the decision, everything else is not up to you anymore. Whether you actually get up is not up to you. Maybe there'll be a blackout.
You don't want to get up in the morning, right? You just want to stay in bed. So you're going against your grain. The fact that you got up is already going
you're
against. Once you get up,
you can turn left, you can turn right. You keep making decisions so you're getting
there. That's what I'm saying. So all those decisions are what's up to you. But I'm saying the results are not up to you. Right? You can decide that, you know, I'm going to get up in the morning or whatever, and then there's a blackout in the middle, and I'll turn off your alarm.
Right.
So HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make that you're not going to get up. But you still, Lamaisa did Bechira that you're going to get up. Okay? Then we go on and say, Hoidiu Va'amim Ali Loisav. Now this is already a next step, which means, Hoidiu Va'amim means make it publicly known to the nations all of his great deeds, all of what Hashem does. Now what is Ali Loisav? It doesn't say Maisav. Right? It says Ali Loisav. So at this point, once you've already realized, number one, is that everything that you have, you admitted, Hoidu, admitted that everything's from Hashem, and then you see how everything plays out throughout the day, all the decisions and all the results that you have, your miyachas back to Hashem. Now you're ready to announce it publicly to other people. So Hoidu va'amim. Ali Loisav. Now, Ali Loisav means you should be Moidia to other nations what he does, but also Ali Loisav means the reasons behind it. Okay, it's like the deepness of the Maisa. So you're supposed to Hodiu Va'amim Ali Loisav, say even the deep part of the story. So I saw in the Rav Schwab book, he has a whole Arichas, very interesting piece there. He writes that if a person really wants to, you know, I'm not making any political statement, I'm just saying over what he writes over there, but it's interesting. He says, if a person is concerned about anti-Semitism, so in the world out there, we've got to make museums and monuments and never again and make campaigns and all that stuff. So he says, no. It's very posh. Is that a person? Why is that going to help? He says, why is that going to help? Because this guy's an anti-Semite, he hates Jews. So you're going to make a monument to show him that there was other people before you that also hated Jews. So I'm good company. Right? So what you should show them is that how all the other people didn't succeed because we're still here. You don't show them other people tried and other people did. You have to show Ali Loisav how Kadosh Baruch Hu protected Klal Yisrael in every generation, and that we're still here, and that you're never going to be able to wipe us out. You should go on campaigns and show, like the Yavit says, and like famously everyone has been written throughout, that the greatest nace in the history of the world is that Klal Yisrael is still here.
If you say that too much, somebody say, you know what? I bet I could do it. I know how to do it.
He's just saying it's a much better idea. It's a much better strategy, okay? Even strategically, besides the hashkafa that you want to show is that nothing can come in the way of Kleisel's existence in the world, okay? That's really the way, right? That's the way to show the Umay Sa'olam, the Darkei Hashem. You show the Umay Sa'olam, the Darkei Hashem, the promise that Hashem made to Kleisel, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the whole world, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to continuously protect Klal Yisrael, and has done so, that's going to show people more than you know, making...
Is there a museum like that?
Well,
is there a museum?
I said, I'm not making any political statements. I'm just saying over what's written over there. What, all these, what's the purpose of a monument or whatever? The purpose is that people should remember.
Self-conscious, right? You're going to say, look at the cabal that happened, the tribes that happened, they were still here making monuments. You know?
So I know, but I think that the purpose of the monument is to show we didn't forget what they did. Not that we're still here to remember, because you make monuments for people that didn't survive you also. So the people that make the monuments are not the purpose of the monument normally, or museum, is to show, don't think you'll be able to get away with it because we remember what happens in history. We remember what happens, and we make monuments for it, right? So the really the oimek is to show, bring out from there the hashgacha, okay? Okay.
So almost the way of saying in other words that you have to be Orla Yehudim.
Yeah. So that's the next step. So we're saying that there's two steps.
Hashem.
Pretty much. but through showing the hashgacha, the tremendous, you know, hashgacha involved. So that's the three levels. Hodul Hashem is to admit it. Kiru v'shmoi is to be miyach, is everything that happens back to Hashem. Hodul v'amil olilosev, and then go publicize it. Shiruloi, zamruloi is different. Now it's emotional. Till now it was more rational. So shiruloi, zamruloi, you have to sing out in the praise. Sichu b'chol nefloisov, and you should speak. You should speak in his the miracles. You know, so shiru is emotional. Sicha is constant. It should be constant. Okay, his hallelu. There's a more like a tight over here. His hallelu b'shem kodshoi. You should be mahalal in his shem kodshoi. What does his hallelu mean? What's pasha tight to this word?
Praise.
The praise. So. What?
You said you're supposed to have praise.
Go crazy over it. So here, well, let's explain a little bit. His hallelu is lashon his spoil. If it would just say praise Hashem, it would say hallelu b'shem kachoy. Praise. His hallelu is what is reflexive. For example, if you tell someone to get dressed in Hebrew, how do you say? Hitlabesh. He got himself dressed. Lavash is that he dressed others, right? So, if you would honor to say hallelu, you should say praise Hashem. Hallelu b'shem kachoy. His hallelu means that you should become praised. So it's a very strange, it's just strange language, right? So what this apostle, it's a apostle. What it's saying over here is that a person that does this is going to become a better person. That's what it's saying. It's saying use this method to become yourself, become better through Shem Kodshon, through the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That you could use now the name of Hashem, not just praise it and publicize it, but the more you realize that you yourself will become better. His hallelujah, you should make yourself great b'shem kodshoy through these methods of great of making Hashem's name great. So it's poshup shat. It's not a shtickle Torah. Right. Because otherwise it doesn't, the word reads that way. And Rabbi Miller even adds on a knetch that sometimes people, and I've had this even lately, is that people will not want to say what they do. They want to be private about what they do because of anava and all that. And basically what he says is his hallelu b'shem kotre means that you should publicize your greatness, because if this is going to help other people. A person, there's no room for anava in these inyanim, or at all, in general. And Avodas Hashem, Baron Cutler writes also. Nowadays, people are so shvach that that's a motivating factor is for them to hear that other people do it. And therefore, it's
forget it. Same between the yin and the yin?
I'm talking about between the yin and the yin. Okay. It's not gaiva. It's not an Indian of gaiva. Okay, you're supposed to do that.
So when someone wants to donate money to kollel, to yeshiva, to shul, and he says...
If it will motivate other people to do it...
He says anonymous, he's saying that's not right.
I'm not saying it's not right necessarily, but I'm saying, but if you could use it to motivate others, then maybe it is proper. Because then other people will say, oh, he's doing it, I'm doing it. You know, then, you know, you could get it done. Now... this is what it means. His hallelu b'shem kodshoy, and yismach lev mevakshe Hashem. So, someone that's mevakshe Hashem should be happy. This is also very important. Mevakshe Hashem. Normally, in the world out there, there's no. You wouldn't compliment. There's no mila to being a mevakish. The mila is if you got it or you didn't. Right? Your success not because you tried to get a good deal. You're only successful if you got the good deal, right? So here the pasuk saying no, yismachu, yismach lev, you could be happy even if you're a mevakish Hashem, because again, because this madrega, you're going to reach this higher madrega now. So mevakish Hashem himself will reach that madrega, even if he's not matzliach and he has nisyonis or whatever. But the etzim bakasha itself is something to be praised for. And that's the difference between Yiddishkeit and Ruchnius and other accomplishments.
What's the juxtaposition between all these different pieces? Like each one can be their own paragraph and another.
True, no, but all these are introductory pieces to explain why it's important to be. This is like instructions. Why it's important for Pesukei Dezimra. Why it's important to praise Hashem.
Like so
it's, right, correct. It's an he didn't get what
you,
he didn't get involved in what you're praising about yet.
He's even in the first pasuk. He says, "Yeah, you should thank Hashem and tell people about his,
Right, right. But there's a certain build-up, right? But right. I mean, you could probably spend time on figuring out why this one's before that one and what them. But in general, they're all different pieces in introduction to explaining the significance of doing Shevach. We didn't do the Shevach yet. First of all, we didn't do the Shevach, and we didn't even explain what there is to be Mishabach about. But we're just telling you, there's a lot to be Mishabach about, you should publicize it, you should be aware of it, and if you do it, then you're going to reach higher Madrigal. So that right, well, we didn't talk what there is to do yet.
It's just weird. It starts with Hashem, then it goes to Goyim, then it goes back to Jewish people again.
Well, it's all talking about us. What we're supposed to do, but I hear. You're right. I mean, the exact juxtaposition, I'm not 100% sure. Now, Dirshu Hashem ve'uza. Dirshu usually means like to look deeper. So you may not find it right away, but Dirshu Hashem, you should be dirish for Hashem in your daily affairs. His hashgacha ve'uzai and his power in terms of, also the hashgacha. You should find Hashem in his hashgacha. Bakshu funav tamid. You should always look for Hashem in everything you do. You should look for Hashem, the face of Hashem, in your actions. And some people say what it means is, it's maybe a little drush, but it's a nice pshat, is bakshu funav tamid. In everything you do, this is Rabbi Miller's pshat, in everything you do, you should look to see what Hashem's face will look like. In other words, in everything you do, you should see what's going to be Hashem's reaction to this. Right? Like right, right. Now, sometimes, like I'm giving a shir, there's especially one or two people that, depending on their facial expression to the shir, I'm like, either I didn't explain something right, or they really don't like this question, and some people like, or they don't like this shtickle Torah. Like I gave a chabur today, and one guy was giving me a look mitzchil vatzoyf, and yeah, I had a kash on your whole thing. So like sometimes like, you could tell what's going on by a person's expression. So he's saying, bakshu funav tamid, you should look for the expression of Hashem in your actions to see does he approve or disapprove. But I don't think that's pashup shat. Pashup shat is look for Hashem in everything that you do. Zichron nifloisav, you should remember his nifloisav, asher asa, moifsav, and his moifsim, mishpatei fiu, and his commands. Zera Yisrael avdoi, b'nei yankoi b'chirav, and everything he's done for Zera Yisrael and b'nei yakoiv, b'chirav. Now here it says that there's two reasons. So you should remember for what he does for Zer Yisrael Avdoi and for Bnei Yaakov, and that we're his chosen people. In other words, it's saying here that we are connected with the Kodesh Baruch Hu on two levels. Level number one is that we're Avdoi, we serve him. But level number two is, even if we didn't serve him, Bnei Yaakov Bechirov, we were chosen. Now the question is, why were we chosen? So the pasuk in Devarim says always this famous thing. It says, let me get the pasuk inside. It's one of those pasukim that like sounds like it makes a lot of sense, and then when you think about it, it's very hard to understand. The pasuk says, "Ki am kadosh ata l'Hashem Elokecha." You're an am kadosh. Becha bochar Hashem Elokecha liyos leila am segula. Hashem chose you. Mikol ha'amin, from all the nations of the world. Okay. Now why? So Hashem chose. Must be a reason. So says loy merubchem, not because you are great. Mikol ha'amin. Chashak Hashem bochem vayivchar bochem. He didn't choose you because you're a large nation. Ki atem hamaat mikol ha'amin, because really you're the fewest people. So why did Hashem choose you? You're not smarter. You're not stronger. Because he loves you. If you're trying to explain it, why do you want to? Because I want to. Right? I mean, it didn't explain anything. So, because Hashem has an ava to you. That's the question. Why did he have an avid to you? Why did he choose you? So the Ramban says that what it means is, since he has an avid to you, he wants to choose somebody that's going to have an avid back. And he and Hashem said there's one need that the Klai Yisrael has, is that they will always have a built-in, their nature from the avos is, they have a built-in ava to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that they're going to be willing to be Moisir Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no matter what, throughout the generations. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that they, the Klai Yisrael, is the most ra'i for it because they're the most able to have ava back to him. That's what the Ramban says. Right, because and that, you know, that's what keeps the relationship. Because that Ava that he has to us and that we have back, that very good. Right, so this is what he says. So this always kept strong throughout the Golos, because sometimes, you know, you may not see the Ashgacha, but remember, Zer Yisrael, Avdoi, we're always there. Hu Hashem Elokeinu, and Hashem. He as Hashem are our God, Elokeinu, v'chol ha'aretz mishpatav, and his mishpatim go throughout the whole world. So now we're already starting to get into what we are being Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu about. Okay, should we say Peshat in this pasuk, or we say it for next week? Is it time? It's already 9:15? What? So say one more vart over here on this pasuk. So the Siddur Agra has a whole arichas over here. Just over the Aaron. That he says like this, Hu Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem is our Elokeinu. So someone would think, okay, so that means that the Ikar Ashgacha Pratis is on us. So he says, no. B'chol ha'aretz mishpatav. His Ashgacha is equally on everybody. Not equally, but his Ashgacha is on every. So everything that happens, there's no mikra in the world. He says, if there's earthquakes or hurricanes anywhere in the world, it's Ashgacha Pratis. It's coming from Kodesh Baruch Hu. But there's a nature that I think that people tend to overlook. He says that everyone's always said, "Oh, it's not accidental. It's not just like, you know, hurricanes don't just develop for no reason. Hashem made it happen." True, but there's another knach. It's a mishpat. B'chol ha'aretz mishpatav. It's a mishpat. Hashem made it happen for a reason, not just okay. Hashem made it happen. No, you can't stop there. Hashem made it happen for a reason. If it happened to that nation is deserving of it. That means that they did something to deserve that particular punishment. Because we're always very, we try to be like very liberal, and we don't want to use so much these that terminology. Oh, it's a punishment, you know, Hashem is good, whatever. B'chol ha'aretz mishpatav, it's a judgment. So I think, I may be mistaken, but I think is that usually when we tend to say things are Ashgacha Pratis, we stop short of that. We say, yeah, it's Ashgacha, Hashem did it. He's saying, the Pasuk's saying more than that. Hashem did it, and it's a mishpat, and they deserve it. That knach, I don't know if we always go that far. What do you mean?
I'm saying, Hashem does a mishpat, and it's a good.
Correct, 100%. Right. So the we may not always know what is the reason for it. We don't know what did they do to deserve it, and we're not Nevi'im to necessarily know. But he says, Ad kedei kach, if there would be a Navi today, he would tell us beforehand when every earthquake is happening. Wow. Why? Because a Navi will know. That Avera, that's an earthquake Avera. That Indian that they're involved with, that's for hurricanes. A Navi would be able to know exactly what's going to take place. So now it's not just that, okay, Hashem decided now. No, it's not the weather. It's not the weather, it's Hashem. It's much more than that. It's Hashem doing something very specific for a specific reason, and we can't forget that. So that's part of this mishpatav.
So we're supposed to know from the mishpat, so the tsunami in this part of the
we
world.
We don't necessarily.
Whatever mishpat is, that's a message for me.
It's a message to. Okay, so the knach on top of that is that Rabbi Miller says is he says Hu Elokeinu, the hemshech in the pasuk is Hu Hashem Elokeinu, he's our Hashem. And because of that, b'chol ha'aretz mishpatav, and that's why sometimes he'll bring a mishpat on the rest of the world, gufa for us, to be ma'aras and tshuva. So maybe that's the reason. But it's only ma'aras and tshuva. How's it ma'aras and tshuva? Why is an earthquake ma'aras and tshuva? So I always thought, the reason is to see how strong Hashem is.
Because
No.
Because we potentially could be doing the same other.
Oh. The reason why it's Mar Tshuva is not because, oh, you see how strong Hashem is, so don't. No. It's because you see that Hashem is paying back for Averis. So you better clean up your act.
The problem is that all the Goyim always say, oh, it's nature.
Correct.
So they're not getting the point. They're not getting the lesson.
But we have to get the lesson.
Tell them.
We have to get the lesson.
It's the owner's concern.
Right, but this is the amazing part. The Siach Yitzchak says, he says, if it wouldn't be that Avraham Avinu lived in the time of Sdoim, the people in Sdoim would have thought that that's also a Mikra.
Huh.
Right? Wow. The newscaster on Sdom channel, whatever,
CNN. What are the odds?
was saying that there was a great sulfur attack and from the depths of the earth. It only happens once every 18,000 years and, you know, whatever. He says,
Fake news.
So, Avraham Avinu told us, no, that's not what happened. So he said, the same way that Sdoim got destroyed and they said it was Mikra. Don't think that he's saying that this is a new thing. It happened then also. Right? Mabul, all these things. That's the Chiddush. B'chol aretz mishpatov. So everything that happens is mishpatov. So that's the reason to go ahead and be mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to realize the all-encompassing, you know, control that Hashem has over the world. So that's okay. We'll hold up here. We'll stop here. That's the that's the first segment of this piece. So whose is this?